Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's current sports. I'm your host, L. Martin, on this Monday, June 26th, 2017. We've got a fantastic show in store for all of you out there. I really hope you had a great weekend. Weather was absolutely beautiful here in mid-Michigan. Pretty busy weekend for me. I actually got the chance. I want to give a big shout-out to Ron DeLeon, local fight promoter here in the city of Lansing. Ron invited me out to do my very first ever ring announcing assignment this past Saturday at the Lansing Center. 11 thrilling fights. And I tell you what, the fight game and the fight fandom here in mid-Michigan is pretty strong. A packed house. Many people came out to enjoy Saturday night fights at the Lansing Center. And it was an absolute thrill being inside of the octagon and announcing the respective fighters and the winners of those fights. We'll have more on that. And we'll talk about the fight game more and have an outside-the-box conversation concerning UFC and boxing with Austin Short. That name should sound familiar because Austin is a former current sports beat reporter and also fight expert. Austin will join us around 1:30 p.m. But before that, we will talk about the lowly Detroit Tigers who, I guess you can say there's some positive news coming out of this weekend, seeing as though they did snap a horrific losing streak yesterday. However, this is a team that clearly looks like they need to go in full rebuild mode. We'll have more on the Detroit Tigers in just a moment. Also, yeah, you know that name, Miles Bridges, right? Probably the biggest name on the Michigan State men's basketball roster. Miles deciding to announce in front of the Sparty statue on the campus of Michigan State University that he will be coming back for a sophomore campaign. Well, get this. Mock drafts have already come out for 2018, and it looks as though Miles, for the time being, has made the right decision, actually increasing his draft stock. We'll have more on that story. And on the back end of the show, seeing as though we did not get a chance to get to it on Friday's current sports due to our riveting, compelling, and emotional interview with the mother of late MSU football player Mylon Hicks, who, of course, was gunned down in Canada last year in September. Due to the compelling interview that was on Friday, we didn't get a chance to air the swap meet with James Moore. We will air that on the back end of today's show, so you don't want to miss that. James Moore has a message for all of the NBA draftees out there, and he will tackle one word, that being decisions. That and more, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That's the number to call if you want to weigh in. You can also go to Facebook.com/current sports, where we are currently live streaming the show. Leave a comment there. I'll read it live here on the air. That rhymed. I planned that. Also, even go to Twitter and weigh in there at WKAR_sports or at Al Martin WKAR. But hey, you know what's next, baby. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. right, we start with an update concerning the Dr. Larry Nassar trial. Former Michigan State University Dr. Larry Nassar, he will stand trial in Ingham County on 12 first-degree criminal sexual conduct charges. 55th District Court Judge Donald Allen determined that on Friday. Now, over a series of preliminary examination hearings, Assistant Attorney General Angela Povilatis brought forward several witnesses who alleged that Nassar, who was considered the gold standard among sports doctors for gymnasts, would inappropriately touch and penetrate them during treatments. Now, Povilatis asked the court to drop some of the charges against Nassar involving one specific victim, that being victim F. Of course, these victims are not named because this is a sexual assault charge. Dropping the number of alleged victims in Ingham County from 7 to 6, Povilatis did not give details as to why victim F was removed from the case. So we'll have more on that. The federal child pornography case currently that is hovering over Nassar as well has a pretrial hearing scheduled for August 7th with the trial scheduled to start on August 14th. As this case moves along, we, of course, will keep you all updated. Moving on, MSU football earned a pair of commitments from the class of for the class of 2018 coming out of the same household. Get this. Olentangy, Ohio, defensive lineman and twins Jacob and Zachary Slade announced their commitment to Michigan State via Twitter yesterday. Jacob, 6'4", 255 pounds, is listed as a strong side defensive end. 247 Sports list him as a two-star recruit and the number 70 player coming out of Ohio. Zachary, 6'4", 240, is a weak side defensive end. He is also a two-star recruit and the number 69 player out of the Buckeye State. So you have two brothers who are twins at number 69 and 70, respectively. How about that? MSU now has 11 verbal commits for the class of 2018, seven of which from Ohio. The Slade twins are the second and third defensive linemen in the class. Cameron McGrone, a 2018 four-star linebacker from Lawrence Central High School in Indianapolis, Indiana. He announced his top six schools via Twitter on Sunday night. Those schools are Indiana, Notre Dame, Vandy, Michigan, Tennessee, and Wisconsin. He just received an offer from the Wolverines on Thursday while visiting Ann Arbor on his 17th birthday. At 6'1 and 215 pounds, McGrone is the number 16 outside linebacker and number 249 overall player in the 2018 class, according to 247 Sports composite rankings. And he has 21 total offers. That is a ton of mail. McGrone is coming off a torn ACL in his right knee last fall, but appears to be fully recovered. He earned an invitation, to this week's Nike, the opening finals for the top 166 recruits in the nation. Billy Donlin, who arrived last summer as the University of Michigan men's basketball assistant, one of the assistants, I should say, will take the same position at Northwestern under coach Chris Collins, according to Scout.com's Brian Snow. Now, Donlin and Collins are longtime friends from when both grew up in Chicago, the Chicago suburb of Northbrook, when their fathers were coaching in the city in the 1980s. Donlin was no longer under contract at Michigan as the one-year deals he and fellow assistant Sadi Washington signed last spring. Those contracts expired on April 30th. The Detroit Tigers finally have ended an 8-game losing streak yesterday, partially because the bullpen finally stopped the bleeding. The bullpen had allowed 4 runs or more in 4 of the first 6 games on the Tigers' West Coast road trip. But Warwick Sopold, Alex Wilson, Daniel Strumpf, Bruce Rondon, and Justin Wilson each pitched a scoreless inning of relief in Sunday's 7-5 win against the San Diego Padres. Now, Sopold, he allowed the only hit of the 5 relievers. Wilson allowed 1 walk and had 1K. Strumpf, Rondon, 1 walk, and Wilson had 2 strikeouts apiece. Rondon got the win. Wilson earned his 6th save. Alex Wilson had allowed 3 runs over 4 hits over 2 innings in 3 relief appearances on the road trip before his scoreless inning of work on Sunday. And before Sunday's game, the Tigers bullpen had a 9.66 ERA. And over their previous 15 road games, the Tigers have the highest bullpen ERA in baseball of 5.20. More on the Detroit Tigers in just a moment. How about the Detroit Red Wings? Busy, busy weekend in the NHL draft. The Detroit Red Wings came away from the 2017 draft bigger and stronger and with some intriguing prospects, especially on defense.
This is our first draft without our passionate owner, Mr. I. So on behalf of the Ilitch family, Ken Holland, the Detroit Red Wings are proud to select from the Tri-City Americans of the Western Hockey League, Michael Rasmussen.
So the pick is Michael Rasmussen.
And I've had a lot of scouts.
Yeah, so I tell you what, I won't even begin to pronounce the 11 names that they drafted over the weekend. I guess I'll try later on in the show, but a few good gets throughout the draft for the Red Wings. We'll have more on the Wings later on this hour. The Detroit Pistons will hold all auditions for their 2017-18 dance team. Those auditions will take place July 15th to the 16th at the Palace of Auburn Hills. Members of next season's dance team will perform at Little Caesars Arena, home games, as well as various team functions around the Detroit area. The field of prospective dance team members will be whittled down July 16th for a mandatory two-day boot camp from July 17th and 18th before the final round of tryouts on July 21st. Participants must be at least 18 and have a dance background in hip-hop and jazz. A headshot and resume are also required. So any of our listeners out there that want to audition, good luck to you. All right, and how about this? What a Sunday afternoon it was for me after I got home from church and watched the Travelers Championship. But Jordan Spieth found the perfect way to send home the massive gallery surrounding the 18th green, a birdie chip-in from the sand trap on the first playoff hole between himself and Daniel Berger. Wow, that was fun to watch. Spieth, who led the TPC River Highlands tournament all week, joins elite company with Tiger Woods as the only golfer since 1983 to win 10 PGA Tour events before their 24th birthday. I'm 26 years old. What am I doing with my life, right? Woods won 15 before his 24th birthday. Very cool stuff. We'll have more on Jordan Spieth later on this hour for our weekend winner segment. If you want to comment on anything that was a part of our headliners or anything on your sports noggin, you know that number. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Without further ado, let's start the show.
It feels a little early to get something like this, but my God doesn't make mistakes. And I like to think that he's putting this enormous pressure on me to see how I react. And I had plans originally to try and tell the world and everybody watching how to make it a better place, to tell everybody in this government that y'all need to let everybody out of jail for selling weed before y'all start making it legal. For people to sell it and make capital off it. I was gonna tell the Chicago public school system not to take out a loan from Chase Bank when they know that our schools are planning on failing in our district. I was gonna tell those judges that we just need a conviction when you know these is wrong for doing this. But my big homie Reese told me that we got to work on ourselves before we can work on the world. So I want to be a better father. I want to be a better father to Kinsley. I want to spend more time with her. I want to be a better big cousin to Dejan, Daquan, DeJay, Taja, Ben Ben. Who am I missing? To Potato Mustard, Jaden, all of them. I want to be more involved outside of just my community in Chicago. I want to travel overseas and help out people all over the world. And like I said, being 24, getting something like this, it doesn't feel deserved yet. But like I said, my God is putting the pressure on me so I could become who I'm supposed to be. I'm a good man, and I'm going to become a better man. Thank you, Miss Lee. Thank you, BET. Thank you, black people. Thank you, Mom. I love y'all.
We'll be right back. And that is how we start this afternoon's Current Sports. Welcome to the show, ladies and gents, boys and girls. That was the voice of Chance the Rapper, Chicago kid who is doing some remarkable things, not just in the music industry, but away from the mic, receiving the Humanitarian Award at the BET Awards last night in Los Angeles, California. It's one of my favorite award shows of the award season, celebrating Black excellence and well-deserved award for Chance the Rapper. I tell you what, my fandom just continues to grow when it comes to this young kid. I had no idea how many philanthropic endeavors he was doing away from the music industry, actually founding a nonprofit with two of his best friends. Unbelievable stuff, and footage was rolled in of Chance helping out youth in the Chicago area. Just a remarkable moment, and very honest words coming from Chance last night at the BET Awards. I thought it'd be kind of cool to salute him to start today's show. Love the kid. Just an overall fun show, though. The BET Awards just brings it. Brought it last night. Bruno Mars opened the show. He was absolutely fantastic. Bruno, I think Bruno may be the best performer. Well, clearly the best R&B performer, but the most entertaining performer that we have out right now, probably next to Beyonce, probably. Speaking of Beyonce, I'm seeing here that Beyonce and her twins are now safely at their lavish Malibu home. They were born prematurely, so there was a bit of a scare there, but they are now resting at home. Bruno brings it, though. Back to Bruno Mars. He absolutely brought it to open up the show. My boy Kendrick Lamar won Best Male Hip-Hop Artist. No surprise there. Chance actually took home Best New Artist as well. Best group was Migos. And speaking of Migos, I don't know if you guys saw this, but there were two controversial moments from last night's BET Awards concerning the rap group Migos, as they chatted actually with Everyday Hustle, which has become one of my favorite YouTube hip hop debate shows, featuring Joe Budden as well as DJ Academics. But Migos sat down to do an interview with DJ Academics and Budden, and Budden like walked off during the interview. And the members of Migos were ready to fight Joe Budden. Security had to be called in. And then also after the show, it looks as though Chris Brown got into it with the rap group Migos. A lot of controversy. Let's just say that after the BET Awards. But a fun night nonetheless, right? Let's talk Tigers, shall we? The Detroit Tigers have finally snapped an absolute horrid losing streak. An 8-game losing streak to be exact yesterday against the San Diego Padres. This is a team that, despite that win yesterday, this team is pitiful, horrid, ugly. Whatever adjective you want to use, this team is not a playoff team right now, folks. The Tigers, when evaluating the road trip, they finished 1-6. Looking at last night, Jordan Zimmermann was not great. He allowed 5 runs and 6 hits. 4 of those hits were extra base hits over 4 innings. He walked 3 and struck out 5. Jordan Zimmermann has been relatively consistent. But again, it's so hard to put a finger on this Detroit Tigers team because for the most part, they have been bad. Inconsistent starting pitching rotation. Heck, inconsistent pitching rotation, period. The batting order has been played with a bit. When you look at Brad Ausmus realizing things are not great right now, Brad actually moved Miguel Cabrera to the 2 spot in the batting order behind Ian Kinsler. Cabrera finished 1-for-5 in that game last night. 4-for-28 on the road trip, folks. That's a 143 batting average. Miggy has not been the Miggy of old. And you know what? I feel like a lot of Detroit Tigers fans out there who do have any sense of hope, it's hard to come across one right now, and understandably so. But those who still have hope are clinging to the fact that this team still has names like Miguel Cabrera and Justin Verlander. But These are aging stars who just don't have it anymore. They just don't, folks. It's time to throw in the towel on Miguel Cabrera. It's time to throw in the towel on Justin Verlander. Heck, it is time to throw in the towel on this entire Detroit Tigers team. I don't mean to be a negative Nancy, but when you evaluate the numbers and when you look at how horribly this road trip went, July 31st, circle that date on your calendar because that is the trade deadline. And I guarantee that the Detroit Tigers are going to make a ton of moves, selling moves, before that deadline. Al Avila alluded to it on Friday, which I'll get to his comments in just a moment. But Mikey Matuk, he proved to be the hero yesterday, delivering a two-out, two-run single to right in the ninth off righty Brandon Mauer to break that 5-5 tie. Now, Matuk finished 2-for-5, actually, with a triple and three RBIs and a run scored. And you talk about those moves over the weekend. I think a lot of people rejoiced about this, right? On Friday, Francisco Rodriguez, K-Rod, who had been a consistent closer for this team last year. But then in came the drama this season. Rodriguez not getting the job done, coming out of the bullpen, allowing teams to come back and win games in late inning situations. He was benched. He was put on the shelf. First time in his career he's dealt with adversity like that. Justin Wilson comes in, plays much better than K-Rod, and then K-Rod came out to the press 2 weeks ago and said that there has been a lack of communication between himself and the coaching staff, specifically when it comes to Tigers manager Brad Ausmus, and he had a problem with it. Basically saying to the press that you guys know more than me whether or not I will be back in any kind of situation. But then what happens? Francisco Rodriguez, he goes to the press and says that. Brad Ausmus uses him in a situation where he can slam the door and he gives up a win. Not really practicing what he preaches, right? So this team's relationship with Francisco Rodriguez had clearly run its course. The Detroit Tigers fan base were clearly frustrated. And we're coming out and saying that, you know what, we're done. Just get rid of the dude. And that's exactly what happened. Francisco Rodriguez was released on Friday. And then, again, the move to move Miguel Cabrera to the two spot behind Ian Kinsler, a move that Brad Ausmus said will not be a long-term move, but he wanted to shake things up. He wanted to see if Miggy could get back on track somehow. And still, he finished 1-for-5 in the game. GM Al Avila said on Friday that the Tigers would and should listen to trade offers as they come in. He is not waiting, as many teams do, until July 1st to debate whether or not this franchise should buy or sell. They are in sell mode, and I believe that Al Avila knows that. There is no hope. This roster is not going to make the playoffs as it stands right now. And as far as what moves the Tigers should make as that July 31st trade deadline looms, well, this is a team that is still burdened by aging stars and large contracts. So when it comes to a big name like Justin Verlander or Miguel Cabrera being dealt, that's not going to happen. Let's be real here. They're not getting rid of JV or Miggy. However, when you look at these contracts, I think a name that comes up first is clearly JD Martinez. He is a pending free agent with some value to him right now. You got to put him on the market and see what you can get for him. The other name is Alex Avila, in my estimation. They should sell off those pending free agents in Martinez and Avila and see what's out there. Also, you have to field offers from other players like Justin Wilson, like Shane Green, heck, even Jose Iglesias. Everybody should be on the table right now, no matter what, except probably those large contracts because you probably get nothing in return for them. And it just blows my mind, though, because, you know, you talk about the inconsistency of the Detroit Tigers. You know, even with good pitching, even though that rotation has been up and down, but even with good pitching, the Tigers cannot find a way to win with a lineup that on paper you would think can be productive. But if you look at this road trip, there were two games, two stellar games from pitchers Michael Fulmer and Anibal Sanchez. The Tigers didn't give Fulmer any run support in Friday's 1-0 loss to the Padres. And the bullpen gave up 5 runs in the 8th inning on Saturday, leading to a 7-3 Detroit Tigers loss. Even when the starting pitching rotation comes in and gives this squad a chance, something else goes wrong. It's like inevitable, right? You can pretty much take it to Vegas and bet that the Tigers are going to do something to screw up the game as it moves along, even when it's close, and even when you're getting great pitching on the mound. Actually, this was the first time in the past 100 years that the Tigers lost consecutive games in which their starters pitched at least 6 innings and allowed 2 hits or fewer. The first time in the past 100 years, folks. If that historically doesn't put in perspective just how bad this situation is down at Comerica Park for this franchise, I don't know what is. I don't know what will. The last time the Tigers lost back-to-back games in which their starters allowed 2 hits or fewer was September 27th and September 28th. Back in 2013 at Miami, when Jose Alvarez allowed 2 hits in 2 2/3 innings of work, and Sanchez allowed 2 hits in 5 innings. That's how bad it is right now. And I think everybody knows that. You know, I've read a few blogs this morning, read a few comments on Twitter. It's amazing. When you just go on Twitter and just type in a search bar, Detroit Tigers, and you get to, like, look at the latest tweets from just fans out there. It's amazing with the fans. You can instantly put your finger. That's why I love social media. Hate it or love it. It's so cool because you get instant reaction no matter what topic you're talking about. If you just go to Twitter and type in Detroit Tigers in the search bar, you get to have an immediate finger on the pulse of the Detroit Tigers fan base. And everybody is frustrated. Longtime Detroit Tigers fans are saying, you know what? I am done watching baseball. I am ready for the football season. It is that bad. And I can't help but think about, you know, about what, 5-6 years ago when this team was a consistent World Series contender. And you know who was in charge at the time? Mr. Dave Dombrowski. That's when Dombrowski left this franchise and they brought in Al Avila. That was the wrong move. And I said it was the wrong move when it happened. I feel like that is the general consensus now when looking back at that move. You look at what Dave Dombrowski has done out in Boston now for the Red Sox, and it's pretty admirable. Dave knows his baseball. And heck, you know, you look at Max Scherzer, a former Detroit Tiger who was a stud for the Detroit Tigers, moving now and going to Boston, what, 2 or 3 years ago, and the success that he's had, and just the overall success of the Red Sox under Dave Dombrowski. He's a great basketball mind, and sometimes if you want to win, you have to put your personal differences aside. I mean, heck, there have been many great franchises across many North American sports that when you look at the upper echelon execs who run the team, there have been disagreements. You're going to disagree. That's going to happen. But no matter what the relationship, if you are winning, all is smooth. All is cool. That, for me, is what I point to as the beginning of the demise for the current franchise you currently see. And it's funny because, you know, Brad Ausmus, just to really briefly touch on him before we get to our first guest for today's Current Sports, Brad commented on him being on the hot seat this year. And I feel like, you know, when Brad goes home to his comfy house and before he lays that head on his pillow, he's got to be going insane in the membrane. And he has to know that his job is on the line right now. And Brad Ausmus, let's be real here, Brad Ausmus will not be the manager of the Detroit Tigers next season. He is on the hot seat. That seat is in flames. He said that he is currently, he jokingly said that he is currently sitting on a heated seat. Someone has just torched that thing, if you ask me. It's just bad to look at the Detroit Tigers right now. We'll take your calls and comments on the Tigers. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Again, go to Facebook.com/CurrentSports. Leave us a comment there. I'll read it live here on the airwaves. Or even tweet us at Al Martin, WKAR, at WKAR_sports. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, you'll hear the voice of Isaac Constance, our engineer of WKAR's Current Sports. I'm pretty sure he wants to shout out his man, Chance the Rapper. He was listening to Chance before I was, folks. And also, brief comments on the Detroit Tigers from Isaac, as well as you. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Again, a brief shout-out. I'm looking here at a few comments on our Facebook page at Facebook.com/CurrentSports, where we are currently live streaming the show, as we normally do. And my man Ron DeLeon comments and says, why does this guy look so familiar? Very funny, Ron. My man Ron held a great event over the weekend. I was actually at the Lansing Center on Saturday night to do my very first ring announcing assignment for Ron DeLeon Promotions. Ron is the man when it comes to the local fighting scene here in mid-Michigan. There were 11 fights that took place inside of the Octagon on Saturday. Some very entertaining fights. I want to shout out the winners from Saturday night. I have the card here. The first fight was a draw between Tristan Canada and Ryan Reyes. Second fight, that was a heavyweight fight at the 135-pound division. Keegan LeBlanc, he won in unanimous decision over Latavius Harris. Sean Mueller won in a unanimous decision at the 135 division over Antonio Robinson Jr. Eric Flancher won in a unanimous decision at 185 pounds over Patrick Antonides. Riley Seguin won a unanimous decision at the 155 division over Chisholm. I thought it was an extra R there. Dewan Maricich, he won in a TKO over Ryan Rochus at the 145 division. Daniel Hammond won in a submission arm triangle at the 135 division over Dean Biggs. And then you had the championship fights. There were five championship fights. The first one, Brendan Smiley at the heavyweight division, winning in a unanimous decision over Zil Robichaud. Joe Haggerty winning in a unanimous decision at 205 over West Anthony Cofield. Arturo Soto winning in a arm triangle submission at 145 over Mike Walter. And then the last fight of the night, you had Keaton Gasmer at 125 against Freddy Rodriguez. And I don't have the winner of that fight. I have to go back and look at my notes on that one. But nonetheless, it was a great round of fights. Many people came out to the Lansing Center, incredibly entertaining as well. Ron, I tell you what, you're doing a great job, my man, in promoting the local fight scene. And I tell you what, there is a strong fan base when it comes to MMA and boxing here in Lansing, Michigan. Very cool stuff. And I tell you what, these were intense fights as well. I was actually sitting ringside throughout the entirety of the night. And there was one fight that was so, they all were pretty intense, but there was one fight that was so intense. One of the fighters had clearly cut himself, bleeding profusely. And it's really cool sitting ringside, because when they come up to the gate, you're right there. And there was a moment where they're wrestling right next to me near the gate. And I didn't notice it. Ron's daughter was actually working the time and the bell. After they did a few, tussle moves near where we were, they moved to another part of the octagon. And Ron's daughter says, here. I'm like, oh, what is this? She gave me a tissue. I'm like, I'm not crying. What's going on here? And she gave me a tissue, and she said, no, look. And blood is everywhere on the table. And I looked down at my suit jacket. I had blood on my suit jacket. It was blood on the scorecard I currently have in Studio S right now. Intense stuff. Intense stuff, folks. So, nonetheless, it was a fun night, Isaac. Isaac Constance, engineer of WKAR's current sports. Before we bring in Austin Shore to talk about the local fighting scene and beyond, Isaac, how you doing, my man?
Oh, I had a boring weekend compared to that. Is that dry cleanable? That's why I wonder.
I you know what? Thank goodness there. It was only one little speck. It wasn't like a big blotch on my suit jacket.
Uh-huh.
Hopefully they can get it out. I don't know yet, so we'll see.
Yeah, no, I've actually never been to a live fight before, but that sounded so exhilarating.
So
it looked fun. I was following along on your Snapchat, and Mid-Michigan's boxing success has been well documented by actually the person we're about to have on, Austin Short, and all the MMA success. So I would love to go to that fight. Yeah, just some takeaways from the weekend. I did not see the BET Awards live just because, as you know, and as I've made it clear before on the show, I'm not a big award show guy in general. I did see all the highlights from it. Chance the Rapper continues to inspire. For such a young kid, boy, is he advanced. He's mature, and he knows how to lead the way for Chicago, for young youth in America, and just keep setting an example to be a role model. He's really something phenomenal. The Detroit Tigers, they snapped it at 8, and I don't think it's a surprise to anybody that it's time to sell. Justin Upton, fun fact, for all the batters on the Tigers with over 200 plate appearances this year, Justin Upton has the highest batting average. Justin Upton.
It says a lot, right?
Yeah.
Justin Upton. Not Victor Martinez, not J.D. Martinez.
Not Miguel Cabrera.
Not Miguel Cabrera, but Justin Upton, dude. Crazy. And also, thank you to Ryan Carpenter, who weighs in via Facebook and says that Freddy Rodriguez won by TKO over Keaton Gasmer at 125. Thank you so much, Ryan, for that. To elaborate more on the fighting scene, let's invite a man to the show who certainly is a dear friend of Current Sports, seeing as though he was a Current Sports beat reporter for us last semester. Austin Short, former Current Sports beat reporter and fight expert. Austin, how you doing, my man? Good to hear from you.
Good to hear from you too, Al. It's a pleasure to be on the show with you, and I'm ready to talk some fights.
Austin, I first want to bring up Ryan De Leon Promotions. You and I actually were at our very first Ryan De Leon Promotions fight events, I believe last year, and you actually did a great job of covering the local fighting scene for us here at Current Sports before the summer hit. And just takeaways from being there at the Lansing Center and seeing the local fight scene, just comments on how strong local fighting is here in Lansing.
Well, I think that with the local fight scene in Mid-Michigan, a lot of the fighters, they have such strong support systems from their families and friends and, you know, loved ones. So it's really cool to see everybody just go out, and they really make fight night a spectacle. You know, you see people getting dressed up, you see people in shirts supporting their fighter, and it's really an electrifying atmosphere to be a part of.
Now, what do you prefer, Austin? Are you a big UFC guy or boxing, or a fan of both?
I would say I pay most attention to the UFC, but obviously with the two, you know, MMA and boxing on a collision course with Mayweather and McGregor, I'm interested to see how that goes.
And that's where I was going next, my friend. You have, for the first time, I believe, UFC colliding with boxing. Floyd Mayweather Jr., who was actually in the crowd at the BET Awards yesterday, was pretty cool to see him in the crowd. But you have Floyd Mayweather going against Conor McGregor, two of the biggest names in their respective sports. What do you make of this, I guess you can say, merger between those two areas of fighting?
Well, you have, you know, two fighters in their respective sports that are the biggest thing out, and they're coming together just for the grand spectacle of fighting, basically. I mean, we thought we were getting that with Mayweather-Pacquiao, possibly, but I think we found out otherwise there by that kind of lackluster fight. Pacquiao was a little bit past his prime. I would say that's fair. But with these two, you know, they're just at the top of their game, and it's going to be very interesting to see how McGregor can acclimate himself to the world of boxing.
Does Conor have any chance here? Because Floyd right now is a heavy favorite, according to the Vegas books, and justifiably so. I mean, you take Conor McGregor, who is an all-around great fighter, but that's UFC. He's playing Floyd's game here by getting in the square and boxing, and this is what Floyd Mayweather does. Despite the age, he'll go down as the greatest defensive fighter to ever fight, and he really wants that 50-0. And he may see Conor as easy money here in this fight. But does McGregor at all have a puncher's chance in this fight, Austin?
I would say that, I mean, just by the expression puncher's chance, that's about all I give him. If I had to put, you know, a percentage on it, I'd put it under 10. I don't think that if you have seen the sparring videos of McGregor versus, you know, a top 30 boxer, I can't remember his name right now, but there's a video out there of them sparring against each other, and McGregor is not looking comfortable boxing. It almost looks like he wants to, you know, do some of the kicks and the knees, and it's like he's just not quite used to just purely striking at a boxing level.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be really hard for him to adjust to not only technique, but you got to consider they're using 10-ounce gloves, and McGregor is, you know, used to using MMA gloves, which are much smaller. It's easier for him to connect with those gloves because, obviously, with Mayweather being such a defensive-minded fighter, it's going to be tough to touch him with his hands up, with his head movement, his footwork, and those big old gloves are going to get in the way too. So that's going to be another interesting thing for McGregor to see how he adjusts to that.
Austin, as that fight approaches, we will certainly get your prediction later on, a few months from now. But I briefly just want you to touch on what implications, if any, does this fight have on the impact of either boxing or mixed martial arts?
I think when it comes to boxing, you're going to get some new, I mean, both ways, you're going to get new fans watching a new sport, and they're going to be exposed to that. Now, if the fight doesn't really live up to expectations, that may kind of sour some people on, you know, boxing, like, oh, this is what boxing is all about, which isn't really fair. I mean, not every fight is going to be the same, and you shouldn't judge it based off of this, because this is just a spectacle, you know. It's like when Muhammad Ali fought Inoki, who
exactly.
was a wrestler.
Yep.
And it was kind of a controversial draw, and it wasn't really, I don't think it lived up to the hype necessarily, but it was just something that everybody wanted to see. Also kind of like Battle of the Sexes tennis match between Billie Jean King and Bobby Riggs. It's just something that everyone wants to see, but I don't think it's going to have a lasting impression on either of the sports, because basically, they're just going to go back to fighting just boxers and just MMA fighters. There's not going to be, like, more, you know, MMA versus boxing. I don't think that's going to be, like, a common thing.
Totally agree with you. Austin Shore, former current sports beat reporter and fight expert. Austin, thank you so much for your time, my man, and we will be in touch. Again, we want to preview that fight later on in a few months with you. How's that sound?
Hey, that sounds fantastic. It's always good to hear from you, Al, Isaac, and I hope Jacob's there too, and I will look forward to talking to you guys again.
Thank you so much, Austin. Yeah, Jacob will be in tomorrow.
Oh, but, yeah, thanks, Austin.
We'll relay that word. Thank you so much, Austin. Let's hit our final break. When we come back, we will roll in the swap meet with James Moore. Moore has a message specifically for the NBA draftees from last week. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. And right now, to close out the show, we want to roll in a segment that we planned to air last week on Friday. Of course, each and every Friday, we roll in the swap meet with James Moore. Moore, the founder of the Speaking with a Purpose campaign and former MSU football great who played for the 88 MSU Rose Bowl champs. Didn't get a chance to roll in that segment due to a compelling, emotional field interview with the mother of late MSU football player Mylon Hicks, Renee Hill. What an interview it was, and if you missed it, you missed a treat. And you can catch that interview if you simply go to WKAR.org as Renee talks so candidly about the life of her son and the type of human being he was. She even goes into detail about what happened on that September morning that eventually led to the life of her son, Hicks, being taken very abruptly. So you can go to WKAR.org if you missed that interview. But right now, since we did not get a chance to roll in the swap meet with James Moore, we want to do that right now. And James Moore has a message for the NBA draftees of last week.
Wow. Speaking with a purpose.
That's great stuff.
Swapping out that negative behavior for positive. Swapping out the negative thoughts, negative words for positive. Because the power of the tongue is so powerful. If we get to the adults to swap some things out, it'll be easier to help with these kids swapping things out. And it's not for me. The glory is going to go to God, and just to help inspire other people to make good choices.
Hey. James Moore here with the swap meet. First of all, as usual, I want to thank WKAR and Al Martin for allowing us to air the swap meet. And second of all, I want to go back a couple of my segments. I always like to touch bases on certain things that we've discussed and talked about. A couple segments ago, we talked about Tiger Woods' situation, and Tiger Woods came out this week and admitted that there's a problem, and he's seeking professional help. So I'd like to give him kudos, because that's the first step to recovery in the 12-step program, admitting there's a problem. And that's what Tiger's doing, is getting professional help. And, you know, all my prayers go out to him and his family. And I look forward to seeing him back on that golf course one day soon, hopefully. Second of all, we did a Father's Day tribute last week to my father, my brothers, all the men in my life, my uncles, cousins, brothers, all of them. Hopefully they all had a great Father's Day. I have to comment and say I had a good Father's Day with the situation going on with my son. Took my grandbaby up there to see my son in prison. We spent Saturday and Sunday with him, and we had a phenomenal time, you know. Just seeing him, talking to him, listening to the words coming out of his mouth. His attitude is good, and it was just a blessing, you know, for him to be able to see my grandbaby, Ari, to see his daughter and spend some time with her. So it really made his day and his Father's Day. It's going to be his first Father's Day away. But it was a really, really good one. Then it got me to thinking about choices. And that's what this week's segment is going to be about. Choices. Choices that follow us for life. Good ones and bad ones. So with that being said, Al, let's get started.
Happy Friday, man. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Let's dive right into this, James. And I want to tackle this segment and make it relate to what we saw last night, the NBA draft at the Barclays Center in New York City. We saw a ton of young men dappered out in suits galore, making their professional basketball dreams come true, many of which are now instant millionaires. And you talk about choices, right? And we've seen many athletes who are young and in that realm not knowing how to deal with that instantaneous money, with that instantaneous fame at another level.
there's so much baggage that comes with it. When you talk about choices on that level, what should an NBA draftee or any professional athlete draftee be doing right off rip to make sure that they are making the right choices early on?
Right off rip, surrounding themselves with a positive supporting cast. Financially, accounting, manager, family members that are positive role models, positive figures. Because with receiving the money that they are getting ready to come into, it can go to their heads. I've seen it go both ways. I've seen guys that get that money and they go out, buy mansions and Lambos and fast cars and motorcycles and all that stuff, which I don't have a problem with to a certain extent. You have to surround yourself with a positive supporting cast, because if you don't, that money will go fast.
What examples locally have you seen, James, athletes you've either worked with or played alongside? I mean, heck, you played alongside Lorenzo White back in the late 80s, right? Players that make that leap to the professional realm, what examples can you bring up? Some that have done it the right way or some that have done it the wrong way?
Well, what I will do is I've seen a lot go both ways, okay? But the one that stands out that I really, really respect and admire him is my Spartan dog, Mohsin Muhammad, Moose. You know, Moose came in after I did, and I trained Moose. Moose had a great career at Michigan State. Moose went to Carolina, had a great career in the NFL. But with that being said, Moose had a great home environment. His parents, mom, dad there, supporting cast, great. And what he's doing now is phenomenal. I mean, he's got, I believe, a couple chains of restaurants in North Carolina, doing very well, invested his money the right way. You've never heard of any type of negative publicity about Moose.
Right.
Okay? And that's what it's all about right there. You know, growing and doing things the right way. But he had a supporting cast from day one.
Right.
And a lot of these young men that are coming out, some of them don't have that supporting cast. Some of them don't have the role models. Some of them, all they got is they boys that got them through to college. And now they hanging around and getting ready to get this NBA money or this NFL money with them, because that's all they knew.
How do you stress how important choices right off rip are? Because I feel like, you know, sometimes I feel like when I'm even my little mentees, James, I feel like I'm preaching to the choir at some time. And it kind of goes in one ear out the other, like, yeah, I've heard this before. And it's not until, when it comes to a lot of our young men, unfortunately, it's not until something hits the fan and it becomes real and that mistake becomes in their face and real, where they understand, wow, I should have listened. How do we reach today's youth? I think that's like the money question, right? If we knew that question, we'd be millionaires ourselves right now.
And when, with you saying that, that was my concern, question, reaching out for our listeners. We have to figure out something, because we're losing too many of our kids. We're losing too many of our adult kids with this NFL, NBA money. But we have to find out a way to reach them and let them know that the choices that they make now, they don't just affect them. It'd be different if it just affected them. Okay, boom. They deal with the consequences, done over. It affects everyone in their life. Everyone that cares about them, be it good, be it bad. Everyone that cares about them, it affects them. So we have to figure out something to reach these young men, these young women, our young adults. Because choices follow you for life. It's not just a choice that, you know, is going to be, you know, here and gone. Okay? Some of them are more extant than others. And the thing about it is, what do we have to do? Because, like you said, You know, I have guys that mentor me, and my parents would say something to me, and it'd go one ear and out the other one. You know, then as I got older, I understood. I'm like, oh, shoot, that's what my dad, you know what I'm saying? It clicked.
That's like a natural thing, right, for many of us. I've been through the same thing. We're like, oh, man, that's what my grandmother was saying, right?
Yeah. Grandma used to preach on Isaac. She still does, even when I see her. She's like, baby, you're doing your laundry? You know, and she gets on me about my laundry all the time. But yeah, that was a snippet of, we still had about 60 minutes left in that. If you want to catch the full version of the Swap Meet with James Moore, that is also posted on our website at WKAR.org. You can click radio, go down to current sports. You can catch any episode in current sports history or any segment we've done right there. A minute left, Isaac. Weekend winners, my friend. I have to go with Jordan Spieth. After I went to church yesterday, I took my customary nap after church, and I woke up just in time to watch that playoff between Daniel Berger, and Jordan Spieth. Spieth, that sand shot, birdie chip in to win it in front of a record crowd at the Travelers Championship. Lost my mind watching it. Jordan Spieth, you are that guy. His 10th PGA Tour win. That's my weekend winner.
You talk about emotion in golf, too, or the lack thereof. Not that time. I mean, Spieth throws his club to the side.
Loved it.
Chest bumps his caddy.
Yeah.
That was exciting. What a way to win it. Mine would be MSU football picking up two important recruits, both playing the defensive end position, which is in need right now.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, even though they're two-star, this is what MSU historically recruits, right? And they're twins. Looking forward to seeing how they do once they rock the green and white. All right, we'll be back at it same time, same place tomorrow. We hope to have Bob Apiza on the show. MSU future Athletics Hall of Famer. We'll see you tomorrow, folks. And as always, be easy, people.